If you have a Bible and you care to, you might open it to Revelation chapter 15. Revelation chapter 15, verse 1, and I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues. For in them is filled up the wrath of God. And as I saw it, as it were a sea of glass mingled with fire, and he sees something here that is dazzling, he had never seen before. And then he heard something in verse 3 that he had never heard before. Even though this is a summary of the history of God's people in verse 3. He said, and they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God. That's all the Old Testament, the Mosaic law and all those old ceremonies over there. And all the history from Genesis on up through the last of the five books of Moses, Deuteronomy. He said, I heard another song, though, and the song of the Lamb. And that song, as well as even in type and figure, that those songs were saying, great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty, just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. I want to share my burden with you this morning. This has been on my mind. You probably will detect it yesterday when I spoke from Psalms 137. This is a subject I've studied for many years, but I've never preached this subject before. It's long overdue in my feelings. I want to speak to you about singing songs in the song service. I want to bring this forth to you. First and foremost, that there are two kinds of songs about the Old Testament, the songs of Moses. And then in the New Testament church, there are the songs of the Lamb. There is found in Colossians chapter 3, verse 16, it says this, let the word of Christ, that's the book, dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. I want to key off of this verse right here for two or three things. We're going to the Old Testament for a little bit. We're going to find that there are songs of deliverance. There are songs of mourning and lamentation. There are songs of praise and honor. There are songs of interrogation and songs of thanksgiving. This is in the Old Testament. There are songs of chastisement or admonition. This verse says that songs, psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, teaches and admonishes. That's in there too. There are songs that we sing for mourning. They're usually in the minor key, and we sing those as strangers and pilgrims and sojourners as we go along life's pathway in our troubles and tribulations and trials and sorrows. That's what that old minor key, God designed that for that. It depicts that aspect of it. I sat over here on the bench, and I don't sing a lot with you. But when I get through today, I want you to see how strongly, scripturally, I endorse the song service. How vitally important it is to the worship service. Many times we'll say we're going to change the order of the service on this song. And that's true. We're not finishing singing and then we're fixing to start the worship service. The song service is in it. All right. There are songs for teaching, to educate you. Not the musical scale, or what chords go with a certain key, and what notes make up a chord, and what are the harmonics, and what's the relative minor, and what is the bass, and what is the alto, and the tenor, and so forth. It's to teach you the lessons of Christ. My verse says, let the word of Christ dwell in you. That's what these songs are all about. Now, let's go to a song of deliverance. There are songs that we sing when we're happy. There are songs usually in a major key, and they're upbeat, and the tempo is a little faster, maybe at a marching or a cadence that you can march and walk by as we travel. There are songs that uplift when we're happy. In Exodus 15:1, then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The Lord has triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. They just come out of Egypt. That's something to sing about. The Lord is my strength and song, and he is become my salvation. That's our song. He is my God, and I will prepare him an habitation. We're going to find that habitation over here a little bit. They're going to build. They're going to build a tabernacle in the wilderness. That's the song of Moses. The song of Moses don't just embrace the Ten Commandments on Mount Sinai. It don't just embrace the Levitical ceremony. It embraces many deliverances that the children of Israel had in the Old Testament. This was one of the greater ones when they came out of Egypt across the Red Sea dry shod. In verse 21 of Exodus 15, and Miriam answered them, sing ye to the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. That's the song of Moses. That's the song of deliverance. But it's a picture of the song of the Lamb. Let's look at a little further over here. Go with me over to Judges chapter 5. Judges chapter 5, verse 1. There were two characters here, and you may be stirred to want to read and study all of this. But there was two characters named Deborah and Barak. Then sang Deborah and Barak, the son of Abinoam, on that day, saying, praise ye the Lord for the avenging of Israel when the people willingly offered themselves. Hear, O ye kings, give ear, O ye princes. I will sing unto the Lord, and I will sing praise to the Lord God of Israel. There had just been an evil man named Sisera had been put down, and they sang that song. Look with me just a little further over here to, I believe I want to go to 1 Samuel chapter 18. Saul has gone out, and King Saul has gone out and he's killed many. He's come back with victories. David then, following him, went out and came back with many victories. And it says in verse 7, 1 Samuel 18:7. And the women answered one another as they played and said, Saul hath slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. Well, that song, it says Saul was very wroth and sang that song displeased him. He says, they have ascribed unto David 10,000 and to me they have ascribed but thousands. That's the difference in people electing a king and God electing a king. The people elected King Saul, and he had some victories, but God elected King David. And they were singing that song of his victories of 10,000s. Did you know any time God does something, it'll be at least 10 times greater than you can do? Go with me now. Let's look at Solomon for a moment. In 1 Kings 4, verse 32, and he spake 3,000 proverbs, and his songs were 1,005. Now, they're not all in this book. And I can tell you what some of them were. When you go read the first and second chapters of Ecclesiastes, you can find he got himself men singers and women singers, and they weren't singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs there. You go read that, and he had everything in the world from a natural point of view. It was a carnal environment. He said he got himself these singers, and they were following him around and singing and strumming on those instruments. And he said that he had everything hearts could desire. Ecclesiastes chapter 1. And then he said it's all vanity and vexation of the spirit. Some of the fondest memories I have of my childhood is hearing my grandmother singing and humming in the kitchen. Some of the greatest memories I can hear is they weren't humming "Home on the Range" or "You Are My Sunshine." They weren't humming "Down in the Valley." They were humming "Amazing Grace." They were humming "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." I can hear these now. My Aunt Nora, mother's oldest sister, I can hear her humming in the kitchen now, "Love Lifted Me." That's one of her favorite songs. You know what a psalm is? I looked the word up. A psalm comes from a Hebrew word, M-I-Z-M-O-R, mizmor. And it means praise. In Hebrew, it means praise. 150 chapters in the book of Psalms is about praise to God. In fact, the 45th Psalm has 17 verses, and it's a wedding song of marriage. Go read it. Solomon wrote 105 songs, it says. 1,005 songs, I'll say it right here in a minute. And one of those he wrote are in God's book. In Canticles, they call it, are songs of Solomon. One and one says, the songs of songs. And that's all wedding songs, if you read them, all 8 chapters. It's about a bride and a husband coming together in union. Now, let's look just a little further. Go with me to 1 Chronicles chapter 6 and verse 13, verse 31. And these are they whom David, now David's king, now, David's also acting as something greater than just king. And these are they whom David set over the service of song in the house of the Lord. Song service belongs in the house of the Lord. Remember that. It's part of. Now, I've quoted to you from Mark 11, verse 17, about God, Jesus says, "This it's written, this is my house of prayer." But also it's a place of songs, too. And he sat over the service of the songs in the house of the Lord after that the ark had rest. Now, it's good to have song service, but he had some set over this so it would be organized. It'd be orderly, and we do that. And I like that. And we ought to try to not waste any more time than we can between each song. No more than if I got up here and the Spirit of the Lord moved me and I got into some scriptures and texts and I began to preach to you and you got lifted up and then I just sit down over here for a little bit and said, well, I don't know what number to sing next. You know, I don't know what my next text. We need to be studying and thinking and meditating before you get to church. Listen to me. Have some numbers in mind you like. Call them out. There are churches across the United States. I've been in a lot of them. And they're known as singing churches. They all sing, but some of them are known that way. Bethel is one of them. Praise His name for it. Second Chronicles, chapter 35. Would you look with me? Second Chronicles, chapter 35. Second Chronicles 35. And now, there's so much in this, it's hard to know right where I want to start and what I want to deal with in it. But if I go down to verse 15, and I ought to deal with more of it, but I won't. And the singers, the sons of Asaph, were in their place, according to the commandment of David, and Asaph, and Heman, and Jeduthun, the king's seer, and the porters waited at every gate. They might not depart from their service for their brethren. The Levites prepared for them. So all the service of the Lord was prepared the same day to keep the Passover and the burnt offering and so forth. But did you happen to catch that first part there? They had some song leaders there, didn't you? Did you see there? They named them. And they had that song service ready. And this is a very important aspect of it. I can press on over here to when they were rebuilding the temple after the 70 years Babylonian captivity. Watch this. In Nehemiah chapter 12, and if we'll pick up back up here about verse 29, it says, for the singers had builded them villages round about Jerusalem. They wasn't any place to stay, so they had put up little tents and places around here, and they had the singers there while they were building. Look down in verse 46. For in the days of David and Asaph of old, there were chief of the singers. That word chief means instructor. That don't mean he's hiring somebody else, but he knows music and can teach it. And they had chief of singers and songs of praise and thanksgiving unto God. This is all Old Testament, isn't it? Let's look at Job for just a moment. Go with me to Job chapter 30. In verse 9. Now, I'm not going to have time to deal with all of Job, but Job has had more problems than any man I can read about in the Bible. More has happened to him in the first 29 chapters of this, and he had three friends. In fact, in chapter 16, verse 1 and 2, he said they were miserable comforters. But in chapter 30, he said that here I am with sores all over me, plagues and problems. I've lost everything, and they made up little songs about me. And now am I their song, yea, I am their byword. I want you to see something else. Go with me to the 69th Psalm, verse 12. David says, speaking of Jesus, he said, they that sit in the gate speak against me, and I was the song of the drunkards. He said, down at the bar rooms, they had little old songs made up about me. They're songs of derision that are carnal, that are full of hate. And there's some songs that you can turn on your radio, your television, so you ought not to listen to. And they have a beat to them you ought not to listen to. Because they'll stir you up. And the worst songs I can think of is songs that make fun or make mockery or derision of our Lord. There's some around. Let's see what Jeremiah said in Lamentation chapter 3, verse 14. Look with me. I was a derision to all my people. Now, he had lots of troubles too. Jeremiah did. I can't find any happiness in Jeremiah's ministry. Our Lord, I don't want that calling. But it was necessary. And then he wrote five chapters of lamentation because after warning the children of Israel, they were going into 70 years of Babylonian captivity. And they went and then he lamented about it in 3:14. It says, I was a derision to all my people and their song all the day. They sang songs about me and how I was. What a shame. Those are the kind of songs we ought not to sing. Psalms are praise, songs of praise. Hymns. Did you know hymns is a transliteration from the Greek word hymnos or hymnos, from which we transliterate the English word hum. Interesting, isn't it? Hymns can be hummed. That's really what that's saying. A hymn is something you can hum. You don't have to have words, but it'll express your feelings. It can be upbeat, uplifting, or it can be in a minor key. As if you were in mourning. In Job chapter 35, verse 10. Job says something I haven't read before. David's going to say a lot about it in the Psalms. He says Elihu was speaking, that's one of those three friends, and Elihu said to Job, but none saith, Job, look how you are, and none saith, where is God my maker who giveth songs in the night? There's some night songs. I want to say something about those further in just a moment. But remember my text in 3:16 of Colossians, teaching and admonishing in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. You know what spiritual songs are? That spiritual songs means they're indicted of the Spirit, of the Holy Spirit. The writer was inspired of the Holy Spirit to write that song. And they're not songs that you hear on the radio. These are songs indicted of the Holy Spirit and speak of spiritual matters. That's what spiritual songs are. I want you to notice something here that Paul said. Paul said in Romans chapter 15, now Paul don't say a lot about singing, but he says in Romans 15 verse 9, he says, and that the Gentiles might glorify God for His mercy, that's us, as it is written, for this cause I will confess to thee among the Gentiles, this is incidentally in 2 Samuel 22:50. I will confess to thee among the Gentiles and sing unto thy name. My dad couldn't sing, hardly at all. He couldn't carry a tune very well. I've ridden along with him in the car while he had sang the words of Pass Me Not, O Gentle Savior. I first learned that song here and sang it. One time I said, Dad, and I was getting kind of pretty good, you know, knowing music, and I said one day, I said, Dad, why don't you sing that song right? And he said, it is right to me. He says to the Corinthian church in chapter 14 of 1 Corinthians, verse 16, I believe I'll start at verse 15. He said, what is it then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. How many of you have ever sang something in the Spirit and didn't know what the words were? You sing, you better be careful what you're singing. If I got up here and preached to heresy and got out in the briar patch, you ought to be talking to me about it. Or if you don't, you should. And we ought to be the same way about our song service. Not only in the Spirit, but with understanding, do you know what you're singing? Verse 26, he said, how is it then, brethren, when ye come together, every one of you hath a psalm. That's a song of praise. That don't mean get up and quote a scripture. And then he says, some of you have a doctrine. Now, that's scripture. Your doctrine better be scripture. Hath a tongue. Here's somebody that can proclaim it. Hath a revelation. Somebody's had a vision. And not just I dreamed a dream. I told my wife the other morning I got up, I said, I had the craziest dreams last night. And I started telling her what a few little bit of it I could remember before I was through, she was laughing. She told me that's the craziest thing ever. I said, I agree. You ever had dreams like that? Don't try to bring those down to the assembly of the saints. But if you have a revelation with spiritual indictment, now that ought to be shared. Some of the gifts God gave to the church, the Lord gave to the church, is the gifts of exhortation, encouragement, experiences. Have you had a revelation? That's fine. Be careful, though, that it's not a nightmare instead of a dream from the Lord. Let all things, now here it is. If you hath an interpretation, and let all of these things, these psalms, these doctrines, these tongues, these revelations, let all those things be done unto edifying. If it don't edify, leave it out. It don't belong here. Now, I want to talk to you about the admonishing. Songs of admonition. And I'm going to give you an example of it over here in Deuteronomy chapter 31. In Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 11. Now, I want you to see this. I'm going to give you the law first, the word of it. And did you know we're going to find out by studying a little further in this chapter that it comes to songs, and the songs are songs of chastisement or admonition. The admonition means to tell you how to do right so you don't do wrong anymore. He said in verse 11, when all Israel is come to appear before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose, thou shalt read this law before all Israel in their hearing, and gather the people together, men, women, and children, and thy stranger that is within thy gate, that they may hear, and that they may learn, and fear the Lord your God, and observe to do all the words of the law, of this law. And that their children which have not known anything may hear and learn to fear the Lord your God as long as you live in the land, whether you go over Jordan to possess it. Are you listening to me now? He said, get all the children, men and women, and even strangers. That's a picture of the Gentile, but it means those which are not Jews. And if they're in the assembly, get them all together in one group and read all the words of this law to them and then to their children so that you can teach them to your children. And then in verse 16 it says, and the Lord said unto Moses, behold, thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, and this people will rise up. Now he's given them all the law, but this people shall rise up and go whoring after the gods of the strangers of the land, whether they go to be among them, and will forsake me and break my covenants which I have made with them. Then my anger shall be kindled against them in that day, and I'll forsake them and hide my face from them, and they shall be devoured. Many evils and troubles shall befall them. And I'll hide my face from them. Verse 19. Watch the context. Now therefore write ye this song for you, and teach it the children of Israel. Put it in their mouths that this song may be a witness for me against the children of Israel. Here's a song of admonition for disobedience. What is the song? Set it to music. What? That law that you read. How much of it? All of those penalties for disobedience. Now watch this. I learned a long time ago, and my teacher taught me this in school. If there's something that's hard for you to learn, you just can't get the letter of it down, set it to music and sing it, and it'll stay with you. That's right, it will. And if you want to learn something hard, set it to music. Even there are prayers that have been set to music. You might need to change the phraseology a little here so you get balance and blend and the metering is correct. But it'll cause you to remember it. Even the King James Bible itself is written with a balance and a blend and a flow like a great river of truth. And it's easy to memorize and learn. And it is the height of expression in the English language. This Bible is. This Bible could be set to music, but he said, I want you to set this to a song. I want you to sing this song as a witness against the children of Israel. Now remember, we're going to teach and admonish. That's what the text says. And he comes on down in verse 22, and Moses therefore wrote this song the same day and taught it to the children of Israel. He wrote it and taught it to them the same day. In verse 24, and it came to pass when Moses made an end of writing the words of this law in a book until they were finished. Moses was commanded to do that. Look down to verse 30. And Moses spake in the ears of all the congregation of Israel the words of this song until they were ended. Is there something hard for you to learn? I don't mean just to memorize the words of it, but the lesson of it, the principle of it, and to live by it. Set it to music. Put it into a song. Let's see about that. Go with me to Psalms 119, verse 54. Thy statutes, what are the statutes of God? This book. Thy statutes have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage. I have remembered thy name, O Lord, in the night, and have kept thy law. songs, the song service, learning songs, psalms and hymns and spiritual songs is very important. I want to look at some of David's psalms, and I'm not going to take much time with them because I don't have the time, but they're all through here. I'm going to look first in Psalms 28, verse 7. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusteth in Him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoiceth, and with my song I will praise Him. Look in chapter 32, verse 7. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. Look at chapter 40, verse 2. He brought me up out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. And He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. And we're going to start seeing this a lot in here. In the Old Testament, He speaks about new songs. Well, what's the old song? The Lord hath gloriously triumphed. He hath thrown the rider and his horses and chariots into the sea. Praise His name. That's the old song. That's the song of Moses. But there's a greater deliverance that we're going to look forward to. That's the new song. Look with me in 42, verse 8. Yea, yet the Lord will command His loving kindness in the daytime and in the night. His song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life. If I turn over a little further right here, I'm just going to skip across. There's too many of them. But I'm going to go to Psalms 57, verse 7. My heart is fixed. Oh God, my heart is fixed. What are you going to do, David? I will sing and give praise. Verse 9. I will praise Thee, O Lord, among the people. I will sing unto Thee among the nations. I'm not even ashamed to sing these songs when somebody else is listening. Chapter 66, verse 1. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Those are songs of praise. Chapter, go with me to chapter 70. No, I'm going to go to chapter 81. Sing unto the Lord. Sing aloud unto the Lord our God, unto God our strength. Make a joyful noise unto the God of Jacob. Chapter 90. Well, let's get 89, verse 1. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. There's songs to praise His mercy. With my mouth will I make known Thy faithfulness to all generations. Chapter 91. You can come on down through here and you'll pick up where he's singing songs. Chapter 92, verse 1. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto Thy name, O Most High. Chapter 95, verse 1. Oh, come, let us sing a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Chapter 98, verse 1. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song, for He hath done marvelous things. His right hand and His holy arm hath gotten Him the victory. Now, if this is getting a little boring to you, I hope the Lord will bless us, and spiritually I got a surprise ending for you all on this. I want you to pray, though, that the Lord be in this. Psalm 100, verse 1, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. 101, verse 1, I will sing of mercy and judgment. Well, we're going to sing of God's judgment. Yeah. We're going to sing of that, too. Psalm 104, verse 33, I will sing unto the Lord as long as I live. I love that one. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. I'm going to tell you what you can do. You can go into hospital rooms, into deathbed scenes. They're laying there, and their interest in this world is waned and about gone. If some of you get together and start singing Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound, and they'll identify that, and I've even seen response to it, even when they should not have known what you were saying. Go a little further with me, if you please, I'll just skip across here. There's too many of them, but let's look in 126, verse 2. Then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. The Lord hath done great things for us. Oughtn't we sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to his name? I'll draw your attention, if you please, to the 137th Psalms. They were in Babylon. And those over there wanted to make mirth of the situation and said, sing us one of the Lord's songs. And they said, how can we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? I want you to listen to me carefully now. Songs of psalms and hymns and spiritual songs will uplift and comfort and edify and instruct and teach and admonish, whether they be of mercy and grace, or whether they be of judgment, or whether they be of chastisement, or whether they be for instructing and teaching, whatever it is, they'll uplift you. But you can't sing worldly, carnal songs in the Lord's house. Are you listening to me? And you can't sing the Lord's songs out there in the world's house. You hear that? They won't fit. If you do, go out there and see if they don't make derision of it. I gave you some scriptures that said that happened. And we look on down here to 138, verse 1. I will praise thee for my whole heart, with my whole heart before the gods. That's all the false religions of the world. Will I sing praise unto thee? I'm going to sing praises unto my Lord. Would you look with me in 144, verse 9. I will sing a new song unto thee, O God. Look at 140. I'm having to skip. 47, verse 1. Praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto our God, for it is pleasant and our praise is comely. 149, verse 1. Praise ye the Lord. Sing unto the Lord a new song, and his praise in the congregation of the saints. Now, that's enough of that. Let's see what Isaiah said about the New Testament church now. About the New Testament church. Are you ready? In Isaiah 5:1, he said, he's talking prophetically. Now will I sing to my well-beloved a song of my beloved, touching his vineyard. The song of the Lamb is the song we're singing now. But the song of Moses was an important song. We ought not to forget it. But the song of the Lamb is the new song that David talked about. We'll find Isaiah spoke about it several places. In chapter 14, Isaiah, verse 7, the whole earth is at rest. Now he's talking about the New Testament church. And is quiet. They break forth into singing. One time Paul and Silas was in a Philippian jail. It was a dark, dismal hour in the New Testament church. They were chained with chains, and they were down in the dungeon, the lower part of it. And at midnight, 16:25 of Acts says, and at midnight they sang hymns of praise unto the Lord, and there was a great earthquake, and their chains fell off. And the prisoners heard them singing that song. And the keeper of the jail come running up and said, what in the world happened here? And he thought they were gone, and he drew a knife, because it was a death penalty for a jailer to let the prisoners escape, to take his life. And Paul said, I can just hear Paul saying, won't you just sing along with us here? But the words of the Bible says, stay thy hand, we're all here. Do no harm to yourself. And he came trembling, called for a light, sprang in, that is down to the dungeon, and came trembling to him and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Oh, that song was in his heart. That new song was in him. They had taken him, the Lord had taken him out of that miry clay and out of that dungeon he was in, And he began to sing praises. Isaiah prophesies in 26:1, "In that day shall this song be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. Salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. Open ye the gates, that the righteous nation which keepeth the truth may enter in." You like that song? 35:2. He says, "The wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad. The desert shall rejoice and blossom as a rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice even with joy and singing." That's the New Testament church. Look at chapter 42:8. Isaiah 42:8. 9, and I'll start with 10. "Sing unto the Lord a new song." Well, Isaiah's talking about that new song. "And his praise from the end of the earth, that you go down to the sea, and all that is there in the isles, and in the heavens thereof, and let the wilderness and the cities thereof lift up their voices, and the villages that Kedar doeth inherit. Let them inhabit, let the inhabitants of the rock sing. Let them shout from the top of the mountains." Chapter 48:20. I don't have time for all this text of Scripture, but I want to get this one. "Have you ever been in captivity? The worst captivity that teaches the principles of all captivities was the 70 years of Babylonian captivity. And when those folks came out of that captivity, what do you think they did? As they went marching back to Jerusalem, back to that land that they had been away from for 70 years. In 48:20, he said, "Go ye forth of Babylon, flee ye from the Chaldeans." That's old Nebuchadnezzar's army. "With a voice of singing, declare ye, tell this, utter it even to the ends of the earth. Say ye," here's the song, "here's what you're to sing. The Lord hath redeemed his servant Jacob." Who's Jacob? That's all his people. Sing that song. That's beautiful to me. He said in Isaiah 55:12, he said they'll go out with joy and be led forth with peace, and the mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing. In fact, it'll be such an uplifting thing, he said, all the trees of the field shall clap their hands, singing the songs of Zion. There's more in the Old Testament, but I'm going to get to my main point now. Go with me to Ephesians chapter 5. Now, I've given you the songs that what it's referring to of teaching and admonishing in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts. Oh, Amos 5:23, prophesied, the Lord said, "Away with the noise of the vile." I want you to know the New Testament church doesn't have any need for any of the musical instruments that were invented like David. Away with the sound of the vile. That try to sing with that thing. But we sing with grace in our hearts unto the Lord. Now, you sisters, listen closely. This is the part I have not always seen, but I've known it is there, and I knew there's something more to it. And the Lord opened my mind's door of understanding to this, and I want you sisters to see something here that I want to share with you, and I think this is the part maybe over to you. Do I have your attention? In Isaiah chapter 5:18, "And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God." Wives, this is the same context. It don't change subjects. We're singing in the Spirit. We're filled with the Spirit. We're singing in the Spirit. We're singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. We're making melody in our heart unto the Lord. We're giving thanks to the Lord and the Lord Jesus Christ. We're submitting ourselves one to another. And wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, So let the wives be subject to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. You think he's talking about husbands and wives? He's using that illustration to teach a spiritual lesson. He says that a man leaves father and mother and joins unto his wife, and the two are one flesh, verse 31. And this is a great mystery. But I speak concerning Christ and the church. You sisters here are the song service. What can you do in the worship service? You can sing. You don't preach. And you don't pray. But you sisters represent the song service. You brothers sing. Have you ever heard a sister sing in bass? No, the brothers do that. The Lord pitched their voice down there for the foundation. But it's the sister's voice that's lifted a little. God gave them a little higher pitched voice. And that's the sweetness and the joy and the softness and the beauty and the love. It says that a home has the head of the house, but the heart of that home is the wife. The heart of the church is you sisters. And you deacons are the business managers. And the preacher is just a messenger. And you sisters are the song service. And y'all can sing and raise your voices up together as those sisters in the Old Testament did. And you need to do that today. If you're not singing, you ought to be. What can you do in the worship service? You can sing praises unto the Lord. You can be filled with that. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as unto the Lord. When I was a boy growing up, we used to be down at the cow lot around the men. And watch this. And the conversation in the carnal nature of man kind of got down to the barnyard level. And if those men are alone long enough, the carnal nature of them, first thing you know, they're down at the hog pen talking. Now, I know what I'm talking about. I've been there. But you let some of the sisters or the women folk come walking up, and the conversation cleans right up, and they raise it back up again. Now, I've heard some women talk hog pen talk, and that's an abomination in the eyes of the Lord. You sisters, listen to me. You ought to be singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. You're an influence on him. A greater part of what a man is today is because that wife has submitted herself unto her husband. And that husband also loves the wife, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. The church is a singing church, but you sisters in each local body represent the song service. Now, just as we give, watch this, just as we start our worship service with the song service, and you sisters submit yourselves to your husbands, who's the head, even as Christ is the head over the church. Just as you wives submit yourselves to the husband, so does the song service submit to the preaching service. We come to the end of the song service, and the preaching starts. You got that? I'm telling you. The song service is something you sisters can sound out on. And your voices will lift up and bring that submission in praise up to where when that preacher stands up and begins to talk about the head of that church, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is attuned now to preaching much better than if you had no song service. Meet sometime together and just say, okay, one of you elders get up and preach for us. No prayer, no singing, no nothing. And you've been out there in man's world for 5-6 days. It's going to take him a good part of the hour to get in the Spirit. And by the time he gets in the Spirit, time's up. But that song service, all you sisters have sweeter voices than the men. Your voice is pitched a little higher. You know, isn't that interesting how God does all that? So that you give the harmony and the balance and the blend and the unity to it. And just like you wives submit to your husbands, and the husband loves the wife, so does the song service yield and give way to the preaching hour. The song service is first. And then comes the last of it. There was a song. I'm not through with that, but there was a song that was sung over here in the 14th chapter of Revelation, verse 3, and they sung as it were a new song before the throne and before the four beasts and the elders. No man could learn that song but the 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth. Brothers and sisters, there is a new song yet you will sing. And that song is known only by those 144,000 that's redeemed from the earth. But you will join in with them one of these days in the 7th chapter of Revelation. In verse 9 it says, after he talks about the 144,000, he said, and then there was an innumerable host which no man could number. And they join in with the singing. And in Revelation chapter 5, it tells me down about verse 12, it says that there were thousands of angels, 10,000 times 10,000, thousands of thousands. And here's what angels do. They sang with a loud voice. They're encamped around about the saints. And they say, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. What song is that? Back up to verse 9. There was one they found that was worthy to open the book and loose the seven seals thereof. And they sung a new song saying, thou art worthy to take the book and open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every nation, kindred, tongue, and people. That's the song of the Lamb. And you sisters represent. Take this home with you, don't ever forget it. You represent the song service and the worship service. And then you sat silently as you have submitted and given way, and an elder that's called of God stands before you and takes a text in harmony with the songs you sung of the Lamb and preaches the word of the Lamb. It is the voice of singing that gives the spirit to the word. So that preacher's in the spirit when he gets into the stand. That's the way it ought to be if it's done right. He'll walk in the stand in the Spirit. I've heard some say, well, he finally got in the Spirit. If the singing service is right and the Lord's in the matter, he walks in the stand in the Spirit and preaches the same harmony that you have been singing. And it all is one worship service of praise and adoration and edification and instruction to the Lord. And you know what the last thing to do? We start off with singing, no. You know what the last thing to do is? When they had finished the Lord's Supper and the Passover Supper had completed, and he had finished the Lord's Supper and the bread and the wine and the feet washing, in Matthew 26, verse 30, it says, and they sang a hymn and went out. And we're going to sing a hymn right now. And we're going to go right. I hope you remember this today. I even didn't even run over time yet. And I skipped a lot of things over in Isaiah and Jeremiah. In Hosea 2:15, he said, in that day, said, they'll sing a song. They'll sing as they did in the days of their youth. And that's where we ought to be now. Now let's sing that hymn. And let's do it in the Spirit. And let's make melody in our hearts with grace unto the Lord of praise and adoration. Let us sing with grace in our hearts. You got a number.